Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The first recorded words uttered by Jesus in the Gospel of Mark are these: "The time is fulfilled. The reign of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." And then what we are shown in the rest of the gospel is the ministry of Jesus, where he shows us what that fulfillment of time looks like, where he shows us what the good news reign of God is. And he does this not only by teaching and preaching, but also by performing signs. Healing the sick, healing the lame, the blind, casting out demons, multiplying bread, walking on water, calming the storm. These are the signs that Jesus does. You and I are surrounded every day by signs, aren't we? Right? If you drive down the main thoroughfares of town, you will see dozens of restaurant signs and business signs and for sale signs and on sale signs. If you drive down the expressway, you'll see all kinds of billboards with their towering letters offering food or gas or some other service. You see traffic signs everywhere you go that tell you how to behave on the road. And when you don't behave on the road, you'll see red and blue signs flashing in your rearview mirror. And when you cut off the guy behind you on the road, well, you are likely to see another kind of sign. But these signs, they don't just exist for their own sake. Instead, they're meant to do something, right? To communicate something, to elicit some kind of action. They point to something greater than themselves. This is true of the signs that Christ does as well. Christ's miracles were always signposts, pointers, pointing people to something greater than the miracle itself, that the reign of God had broken into time and space in a new and fulfilled way, specifically in Jesus Christ. So that his miracles show not only his authority to usher in this reign, but his miracles also show us or point us to what his lordship looks like in this kingdom. So, for example, he's healing a lame man, and in order to show what this miracle is all about, Jesus says first, "In order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, get up and walk." See, his miracles are always meant to point to something greater. You see, this is a kingdom where God cleanses people of a deeper disease than being lame or possessed. This is a kingdom where Jesus heals sin and rebellion against God. So we have in our text this woman seeking a sign. And apparently the fame of Jesus was such that she knew that he could offer her what she sought, and so she goes to him. But this woman isn't pleading so much for herself as she is for her daughter, for her daughter was plagued by this unclean spirit. Now, you have to imagine that this woman was at least on the verge of desperate. Anyone who has had a child plagued by any kind of illness, not to mention an evil spirit, knows what lengths a parent will go to find help and healing for their child. This woman not only was on the verge of desperate, she certainly must have been desperate for healing for her child, because we come to learn that it's not only her daughter who is unclean, but she herself is unclean, at least according to the religious wisdom of the day. She's a Gentile. She must have been desperate as a Gentile woman to be coming to this Jewish teacher for a sign. Jesus He's in this region of Tyre and Sidon. This is not Jewish territory. These people are not God-fearing, covenant-bearing children of Abraham. These people are Gentiles, as good as pagans, not people who are under the reign and the rule of the one true God. And everyone knows this. It's no secret. Jews and Syrophoenicians did not mingle. Jews were easily the far superior people group, for they had pulsing in their veins the blood of the patriarchs, after all. They were children of the promise. They were under the reign of God, but not Gentiles. No, not this woman, not her daughter. And yet there she is, at the feet of Jesus, seeking a sign. You know, the Pharisees and other Jews would seek a sign from Christ every now and again, but you'd never see them at the feet of Jesus. But she is. The ESV says that she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. The Greek there that Mark uses has this sense of ongoing repetition, that she kept on entreating him to cast out the demon. Now, maybe we could easily conclude that she really doesn't know who this Jesus is. She's just here for her sign, right? For a healing. Give me my miracle and I'll be on my way. Maybe. But not so fast. As she's pleading with Christ on her daughter's behalf, Jesus says something that sounds kind of rude. Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Translation, what I have is not for you. What I have is for the children, the people of Israel, who are under the reign and the rule of God. It is not for dogs like you who are outside of that reign. Is this Jesus speaking? Can he say that? The Lord of love who comes for everyone? He calls her a dog who is outside of the reign of Christ? Well, that is our initial reaction, isn't it? To be kind of put off. Did Jesus just say that? And yet, while we would piously be put off on this woman's behalf, what's incredible is that she does not launch into a debate with Christ as the Pharisees would have. She doesn't argue with him about who is clean or unclean and which category she fits into. What's incredible about this woman is that after being called a dog, after being called an outsider, someone who's not worthy of what Christ has to give, she actually says, yeah, yes, Lord. Two words that put to shame your old, fleshy, and sinful self. Yes, Lord. Two words that are impossible for your natural, sinful self to utter. For when your old, sinful self hears the truth from Christ that you are by nature sinful and unclean, that old self gets riled up into a self-justifying frenzy. Now, wait just a minute. Who do you think you are saying such things about me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? How much I love my neighbors? Don't you know? So on and so forth. Now, never will the old self agree with Jesus that it is sinful. But that's what this woman says. Yeah, I'm an outsider. I'm a dog. Apparently, she understands something that not even the great Pharisees could grasp. For she continues, yes, Lord, and even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Translation, whatever you have to give me, no matter how small, it is enough. I'll take it. And what she receives from Christ is far more than enough. Her daughter, perfectly healed, simply at the word of Jesus. But of course, this is a sign. This is a miracle that exists not only for its own sake, it's meant to point to something greater, and that is that this unclean woman and her unclean daughter, these outsiders, have become partakers and beneficiaries in the reign and the rule of God. They received a sign that said, "This gift of Jesus is even for you." It would seem that no one is beyond the grasp of God's gracious reign and rule in Christ. And I don't say that in some kind of universalist sense that in the end everyone will somehow be saved. No, what I mean is what Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, that God chose the apparently weak things of the world to shame the so-called strong things. He chose the apparently foolish things to shame the so-called wise ones. And here he chose an unclean Gentile dog woman to shame, well, to shame you and me and our self-righteous efforts, our old proud self, which thinks it actually deserves something from God. No, that self must be done away with. And for that to happen, Christ must do something far more than fix any physical ailment that we have. No, in order for you to be clean, Christ becomes unclean. So he performs the greatest sign of them all, the sign that indeed does exist for its own sake. It points to nothing but Christ crucified for you, a sign which doesn't look great, a sign which certainly looks foolish and weak. The sign of the cross, where all of your self-justifying sin, all of your filth is smeared upon Christ in order that you would be spotless, pure, clean, forgiven. And because of his work, you who were outside of the reign of God, well, you've been brought in. Not even you are beyond the grasp of this gracious reign of Christ. And then, of course, to assure you of that, he continues to use signs. Signs that may look like mere breadcrumbs to the rest of the world and even to our earthly eyes, but signs which deliver all of the blessings of heaven, right? Simple water, bread and wine, a simple word spoken or read. With these things, Christ showers upon you forgiveness and eternal life and salvation. Yes, for you and for me. Dogs who don't deserve it. God be praised. Amen.